In this episode, we're sharing how to explode your podcast growth in competitive niches.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, I'm Tyga O'Shea.
And I'm Anthony Wineri.
And in this episode, you'll discover the economic principles successful entrepreneurs use to dominate markets and how you can apply this to your podcast growth.
How to become the number one podcast in your chosen niche within 12 months instead of fighting across thousands of other shows in a popular category.
And the expansion strategy that builds empires from micro niches on podcast platforms. Welcome back to another Thursday episode where we share with you stories, break down marketing principles, and give you actionable strategies to grow and monetize your podcast way faster. Every piece of mainstream podcast advice tells you roughly the same thing, right?
Find the biggest guests.
Go to the most popular niches.
Go where your audience already exists.
Chase the trending topics.
Compete for the largest market possible because you know there's going to be popular and high demand.
This is economically backwards.
Damn, you sound like a nerd, bro.
No. But look, here's why. Because when you enter a market, when there's massive demand and massive supply, you can very easily become a commodity. And commodities compete on price, right?
And in podcasting, the price is your willingness to work harder, longer, and cheaper than everyone else for diminishing returns. I feel like there's this mindset in podcasting that it's a long game. You got to be in it for the long run.
Yeah.
You know, what's this thing about the snail or like the slowest pace?
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. And don't get me wrong, there has some merit to it. However, yeah, a lot of the time these mindset can actually screw you up to not taking the right steps to grow your podcast faster because you're under the false premise of, oh, it's going to take time. It's been 4 years.
Very good way of putting it. So let's look at what happens in popular niches. Probably the biggest three would be business, health and fitness, and personal development as like a broad overview. There are hundreds of thousands of active shows in those spaces alone. And so when you go into any single one of these spaces, for example, personal development, you're competing with thousands, tens of thousands of established shows, right? And those include celebrities and massive media companies with unlimited budgets.
So the thing is, when you step into these spaces, yeah, they're popular, but you're not just competing against other, you know, independent podcasters, other business owners. You really are competing against people like Tim Ferriss, Joe Rogan, and billion-dollar companies, you know. And for a lot of people, that's an extremely hard area or category to break into.
It's very, very hard to break into because when everyone is fighting for the same audience, you know, there's a few things that happen. In the last episode, we spoke briefly about the perspective of your listener when they're choosing a show. And for example, if they're an online sales rep and they see two shows, one about sales and one for online sales reps, they're going to choose that one. And the broad show will lose. In these spaces where there's tons of the same shows covering the same type of topics, your ideal listener has like 500 shows to choose from. They have pages upon pages on Apple or Spotify, wherever they're browsing, to choose shows. And you're often buried under layers of more established competition. So a lot of the time you can't even make it to the first page and discovery becomes not hard, but pretty much impossible. But also listeners have little reason to stick with you when they have endless alternatives. Now, it is true that if someone listens to you, they can become a fan and they will just stick with you because they like you. That's one of the best things about podcasting. But they have to stick with you long enough to actually get to that point, which is very hard to do when 5 minutes into your episode, if they're not totally blown away, there's like another 10 that they could go and easily try out instead, right? It's hard to ever get to that point.
Now, here's the thing, right? If you're currently in a space where you are in the personal development, business, health and fitness, and you could be in other popular spaces outside of that, so this still is relevant for you. I think the equation to think about here is the fact that we have high demand in these spaces, hence why they're so popular. High demand meaning there are hundreds of millions of potential listeners you could reach with your podcast in these spaces. Again, there's massive audience, meaning there's a huge high demand for these types of content, which is actually a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's positive. But it also means that there's a huge amount of high supply. So we have a situation where we have a high demand for the content, but equally thousands of people creating content trying to meet that demand. And this creates an environment where you're essentially in the commodity of competition. You're just another show trying to supply the huge demand of people who are looking for these types of podcasts.
So again, to really hammer the point home, high demand and high supply just means most shows become a commodity. And that means that being even 10% better than the shows around you doesn't really get you any results guaranteed. And really, you need to be like 10 times better, 5 to 10 times better just to be noticed. And even then, you're still fighting for scraps.
Now, I think there's this false promise that we've kind of alluded to earlier, which is that most podcasters think, if I target an audience pool where there's millions of potential listeners, then a show is way more likely to grow. But here's what it actually looks like. Those millions of other shows, those millions of listeners are already being served by thousands of other shows. The biggest players already have the loudest audiences. New shows that launch in these spaces kind of just get lost to the noise. And even if you succeed, you're building on rented land on someone else's empire. Whereas if you just focus on attracting a small audience who are dedicated, that have no alternatives, that have no alternative shows that are currently serving them, you'll always outperform the larger shows. And rather than the audience having endless options to choose from, they only have one show to choose from, which is yours. Now, again, I'm going to give you guys an example of what exactly this looks like later on, but I think it's really important to note that there are ways to carve out your own little mini empire, which we're going to break down in just a moment, within these much more popular spaces. The goal here isn't to just avoid them totally. It's, okay, this is what's going on. How do we make the most out of it?
For sure.
So, Tig, look, the general equation that most podcasters kind of fall under is high supply plus high demand equals, you know, commodity competition. What should we look for in terms of niches to go after and topics or areas in podcasting to create a podcast on?
Well, again, high supply, high demand equals commodity, right? Low supply plus, honestly, just enough demand, like adequate demand, you can completely dominate a market and not fight for scraps, but really become the main option in a given market. And our listeners already know this, but it just can't be said enough. And also, if you're new here, this is a really important point. People think, oh, there's not enough listeners for me to monetize my show with a really specific audience, or I can't niche down too much because there's not that many people listening to podcasts. Here are two examples that completely blow that out of the water and demonstrate the point of low supply plus adequate demand is, you know, market domination. Number one, a general leadership-focused podcast that switched over to targeting introverted corporate professionals. That goes from a huge market to a niche market. Would you agree, Anthony?
I'll totally agree. You know, in leadership, there are thousands of other shows talking about leadership, communication style, and a bunch of different stuff. And this was actually a past client of ours who came to us, again, having a general show about leadership. But of course, her show and her growth plateaued and she was basically unable to grow because she couldn't stand out in her space. Her content was good. She was an incredible host. Production was super fucking high. But there was still the glaringly obvious issue of extremely high demand and extremely high supply of other shows covering a similar topic.
4,000 to 30,000 monthly downloads. was what happened when this show changed from general leadership to introverted corporate professionals. Huge change, way more downloads. For some, more downloads than you might think possible for a targeted audience. Let's give you another one. A general mental health show hosted by a therapist was stuck between 5 and 10,000 monthly downloads, which is already a moderate amount for most. So after pivoting to empathic high achievers struggling with overthinking, 61,000 monthly downloads.
Which is insane. So the show literally went from being a general broad show with the belief that it was going to give her the highest chance of succeeding to a way more niche show that's extremely specific, empathic, high-achieving leaders struggling with overthinking, then experienced explosive growth, growing to over 61,000 monthly downloads, which again is completely nuts.
Right. So hopefully those 2 points can show you that, yeah, you can get a lot more specific than what you think and actually have way more people listen, which is sometimes hard to fathom if you haven't really seen it happen before, I think.
Yeah.
It's very easy to think, to have limiting beliefs around serving less people in theory, but actually getting like exponentially more people.
So the reason why this drives way more growth is the fact that we're kind of still in the market. So for example, with the first one, leadership, we're still in the market targeting leaders, right? So the podcast still is broadly about leadership. However, we noticed that with Laura, which is a client we helped grow to 30,000 plus monthly downloads, and she made tens of thousands of dollars from her podcast now, we didn't just completely switch her entire show. We just made her show way more targeted, focusing on an underserved community, underserved niche within that space. So went from general leadership to targeting specifically introverts in corporate America who aren't getting the recognition that they deserve. Again, still a podcast about leadership, but just targeting a specific sub-market within that. There's literally no other shows really doing what she's doing in the way she's doing it. So it meant that she was able to take a smaller piece of the pie of a very big pie.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to visualize, actually. So for people listening right now, how can they actually go ahead and find their, you know, small, big piece of the pie?
Well, the first thing to do is start with market research. So you want to essentially audit five potential micro niches within your current category. So if you have a podcast about, you know, let's say leadership, maybe you look into introverted leadership, maybe HR leadership. Yeah, so you'd essentially just pick out a few options within the main category. So like, again, these micro niches, and have a look. See, are there other shows out there talking about C-suite leadership, talking about HR leadership, whatever that micro niche is for you. Maybe it's like a specific communication style within leadership. The point is, you order those five potential micro niches within your category, have a look at the competition count for each, and validate demand signal. Hey, would you like to grow beyond 5 to 10,000 monthly downloads and start generating sales from your show in the next 3 to 6 months without relying on social media, high profile guests, or word of mouth? If so, I would love to encourage you to go to the show notes, click the first link that you see, and book your free 30-minute strategy session with our team. We'll love the opportunity to help you grow and monetize your podcast way faster. With that being said, let's get back to the episode.
And then after seeing the competition, an extra step you can take to feel even more confident about your kind of like smaller slice of the pie will be to validate the demand a little bit. Now, there's not a surefire way to do this because you can't see exactly how many podcast listeners there are looking for this, you know, like of this sub niche. But you can just do a bit of a general working out how many of this audience actually exist in the world. For example, with the corporate introverted professionals or introverted professionals in corporate, like you can kind of just do the math and figure out that there's more than enough of those people to have a successful show.
Millions, right? Of those people.
Yeah. So as long as your audience is something tangible, you will be able to work out that there's enough people to serve. For example, me and Anthony know how many podcasters there are. We don't know how many podcasters there are who are looking to grow necessarily, or how many entrepreneurs will podcast, but we can kind of just do the maths based off how many podcasters there are, right? And understand that there's going to be enough for us to have a hugely grown show.
Makes total sense.
Cool.
So the first piece, do market research, figure out what are the potential micro niches you can go into. Step two is, of course, position selection. So essentially, choose your monopoly market. And in this case, a monopoly market is that smaller piece of the pie you want to go after. So an example of this would be if you had a general fitness podcast, and instead of just general fitness, you realize, okay, I actually want to go into the market of fitness for new mums with diabetes.
That's a perfect example, by the way, where you might think, what? For new mums with diabetes? Like, too many variables there. That's not going to check out. Do the maths and it totally checks out.
And turns out there are a lot of new mums who actually get diabetes due to pregnancy.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that, actually. So again, even to the point, more than enough people in a niche that would seem absurd. It kind of seems absurd saying it out loud. It seems like you're just trying to niche for the sake of it, like combining so many things there. But it totally works. And that will really be an underserved audience.
Another one could be marketing. If you have a general podcast about marketing, after you look into your micro potential niches, you might find actually there's a huge gap in the market where people aren't talking about email marketing for Etsy sellers. Once again, this is way more specific and allows you to capture your small pie of this massive pie, which is marketing and business in general.
A good litmus test here to see if this new position that you come up with or this new audience is specific enough is just asking yourself, could I realistically become the number one podcast in this niche within 12 months? There's not a specific maths equation to do for this or anything, but just by roughly gauging the competition, you'll be able to tell, right? If there's only a few shows and none of them are like world famous or just have any indication that they're completely in a world of their own, sure, what's stopping you from climbing that space?
And I think that's what we have with Laura, right? It's like, for Laura, one of our clients, the one about leadership, the leadership podcast, it's kind of like, you know, introverts not getting recognized in corporate America. There's really like not even a handful of shows doing a similar thing to her. So we knew that we could easily target that audience, create an incredible product, an incredible show for them. And she literally now is the number one person within her space and is growing and growing and growing. Again, this is what happens when you monopolize a specific niche and start playing a different game. And the third and final piece, so once you've done your market research, you've picked your micro niches, you're clear in your positioning and you've chosen the market you want to monopolize. I think monopolize is a word, I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, it definitely is.
The third step is the content strategy. So what does that look like, Tyke?
Well, look, we could do a whole episode about what a content strategy looks like, and we have done plenty if you're curious, but let's just keep it the simplest form possible here. Before doing this exercise or before listening to this episode, you'll have had your content strategy. It might have been varying degrees of strategy, so to speak, but you'll have had the topics that you're covering on your episodes on rotation. The simplest thing to do here is, as long as you're niching down, like if you're just going from business to a sub-niche within business or vice versa for health or parenting or whatever, you can usually just keep the same topics but just tailor them specifically to the audience. So let's take the fitness example. If you have a show about fitness, you might be doing episodes about some diet, some supplements, some exercises, maybe like the mindset of exercises, maybe interviewing a guest who has succeeded with exercise. You can really talk about all those same things. If you're niching down to fitness for new mums with diabetes, you can really talk about all those same things, but you just need to filter it through the lens of new mums with diabetes. That's definitely going to rule out many of the exercises that you might discuss. It's going to rule out many of the forms of exercises. It's going to make some supplements more relevant than others. It's going to change the diet slightly. So you can still talk about all the things you're talking about in a broader perspective, but just now tailor them as if you're talking to this one specific person, and it'll become very evident what will come up and what won't come up.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that, like, really with this piece, we're trying to create a show that when this mum with diabetes discovers, they're just in love with it because every episode feels highly relevant to them. It doesn't feel like it's broadly speaking about a topic. It's like, oh, this show is for me. Not even like this show is about this topic. It's like, no, this show is for me in my particular situation. And I think that's the subtle difference. I think the general gist of what we're trying to say here is, look, if you want to grow your show way faster, if you want to gain way more traction, and if your show isn't doing that, it's likely because your show isn't standing out. You're in a very competitive space that's probably saturated, and most people don't know how to navigate that in the best way to come out the other side with a growing, thriving shows. We wanted to give you the tools of understanding that if you are in a high supply, high demand space, it's going to be hard to gain traction. What we want to do is find a show where there's low supply but adequate demand in order to dominate a specific space within your category. Now, here are the counterintuitive benefits of becoming way more narrower and actually going for a low supply niche. The first one is you get instant authority. You know, when you're one of only three shows in your niche, you automatically become an authority within the space. Compared to if you're being and competing against 2,000 plus shows in a business category, once again, you get instant authority by targeting a smaller niche or smaller segment of the audience you're trying to reach.
Now, another thing is content creation actually becomes much easier. So to the point we made a few minutes ago, you can basically just take what you're already doing, specify it, and all of a sudden you'll feel like you know what your audience needs, and maybe subconsciously you'll have more confidence in what you're providing because you know that you're not guessing what your audience wants or who you're speaking to. You know exactly who you're speaking to and therefore what they need, because the market is small enough to understand deeply.
Another thing that I think most people skip over is the fact that when you do carve out this space in a much smaller segment of the market, your niche audience are going to pay way more for premium specialized content and services. So what do I mean? Well, for Laura, one of our clients that we mentioned multiple times in this episode, because her show wasn't just generally about leadership, but was more specifically for introverts in leadership who aren't getting recognition in corporate America, her ability to charge premium prices increases because people are willing to pay, again, premium prices because she's positioned as an expert for a particular type of person. So they'll pay way more to her to work with her one-on-one in comparison to a general podcast. So it actually makes your show way more valuable to your listeners and also means when you attract clients into the business, you can charge way more and the clients are willing to pay you way more because you're so specialized.
Now, as we approach the end of this episode, you might be listening and thinking, yeah, see what you're saying. Not going to do anything about it though, because we named a lot of steps and, you know, Anthony started off with saying, the first step is market research. So you might have just thought, yeah, I'm not fucking doing that. And more than anything, after taking hundreds of podcasters through processes that involve niching down of some kind, shape or form, we understand that it can be a big decision. It can be, you know, it can be a small pivot or it can be a big pivot. And, you know, it's not something that you just listen to a podcast episode and then go and do, unless you are just an adrenaline junkie. The point I'm making is hearing this message and then just going and actioning everything, we know it's not a really smooth, straight journey to doing so, right? And you might have some reservations, maybe reservations that you don't even fully understand yet, just some conscious reasons not to go and do this instantly about the idea of making your podcast a lot more specific. So here's a final question that should provide you some food for thought and help you decide if this is something that you really should be taking action on or if in fact you're absolutely killing it in the way you are and you can disregard the message of this episode.
So look, ask yourself this. If your show disappeared tomorrow, would your audience have trouble finding a replacement? If there are 10 similar alternatives, your podcast is currently a commodity. Now look, the biggest mistake that most podcasters are making is trying to compete in markets where winning is impossible. The smartest podcasters are finding markets where losing is impossible. So stop fighting for attention in infinite markets with thousands of other people competing for the audience you're trying to reach. And start dominating the attention of finite ones where you know you have the highest chance of succeeding. You don't need to make growing your podcast harder than it needs to be. So look, if you feel like the concept of your show is solid and you have a big vision of what your podcast could be, and you know that there's an audience out there who would love what you do, but there seems to be a disconnect between your full potential, what you know you're capable of, and the results you're currently seeing, which, if you're being honest with yourself, is starting to feel a bit soul-crushing. I want to let you know that you're just one step away from having everything you want. You've been consistent, but what's been missing is the right strategy, a roadmap, and someone to keep you accountable. And look, that's exactly how we help podcasters break past slow and steady growth after years of being stuck. So if you're interested in working with me and Tig one-on-one to help you grow your podcast to 5 to 10,000 monthly downloads and finally monetize in the next 3 to 6 months, go to the show notes, click the first thing that you see, or visit getmorelisteners.com/growmypodcast and then book in a time to speak with our team. I'd love to show you what's been holding you back and how to finally have the breakthrough you deserve.